We're going to look at what does it mean to walk by the Spirit, and Hans is going to give us some practical handles on that. But before that, I did hear this amazing story from the legendary Ewan McRae from the Isle of Man, and he was saying a story about these two guys who were crazy adrenaline junkies. The one guy is Mike Horn, who was born in Johannesburg, and his equally crazy buddy, which was a Norwegian guy, called Borg Osland. And in 2006, these guys went on a journey from North Russia in Cape Archesky to the North Pole. And this was a journey. They had quite a noble purpose about it. They wanted to track global warming over a 60-day period. And for 2 months, these guys went trekking across to the North Pole, and they carried their own pulkas or sleds. And what they wanted to be known for was doing this journey unassisted. Normally, you would have huskies. You would have assistants to help. It was just the two of them, and they dragged their sleds, probably 20, 30 kilograms each, with all their supplies and goods and everything, for 60 days all the way from Russia to the North Pole. And at that time of year, the story of their journey is called North Pole by Night. It's because that part of the North Pole is in darkness for months. And so the whole journey was basically done at night with no light. If that wasn't bad enough, the average temperature was minus 20 to minus 40 degrees throughout the day, sometimes a balmy minus 2, which they obviously enjoyed. They went over paper-thin ice, which you could fall through, which in some cases they did. And they had to get out and dry themselves off and roll in the snow. To make things worse, having smelled the food, they were also tracked by polar bears and hunted by polar bears. And to keep the polar bears away, they started throwing flares at these polar bears. And the one polar bear ate the flare. If you think things aren't bad enough. And at this point, I'm sure you've got some questions, as I do, but I'm only going to ask one simple one, and that is, why? I'll rephrase, seriously, why? What drives a man to leave from the comfort of his home and family to go to the middle of the Arctic to minus 20-degree temperatures, being hunted by polar bears? Was life just so easy that they got up the one day and said, mortgage easy, raising kids, studying, life feels a bit easy. I'm going to go to the North Pole and risk my life. And the worst part was, they said, that wasn't even the most difficult part. The worst part was one day into their journey, it was a 1,000-kilometer journey, they walked for 5 hours. And in 5 hours, they should have covered 20 kilometers. And after 5 hours, they took a break and they checked their GPS system, and they'd made it 1 kilometer. And they couldn't believe it. And in the time they rested and recovered, even that kilometer disappeared. And it turns out that the ice floe that they were walking on was traveling at almost the same distance they were walking backwards in the opposite direction to the way they were going. And they eventually changed tack, changed strategy, changed course, and they did make it in the 60 days, but that was heartbreaking for them. And for me, I felt God was saying that was a picture for us about how we can try to do it in our own strength and do it our own way and feel spiritually stuck, feel like we're going nowhere. It talks about walking in the light. Sometimes it feels like we're walking in such darkness we don't see the light for months. We're dragging our own stuff, the sled of things. We're tracked by demonic polar bears. And ultimately, we feel like we're not moving forward in God because we're trying to do it ourselves. And I felt God's saying today he wants to break any mindsets we have. We spoke earlier about breaking mindsets. We sang about the river of his Spirit. For me, stepping out and trying to do it our own way is like these guys trying to trudge along, going nowhere in the darkness and the cold, versus jumping in the river or the flow of the Holy Spirit and letting it sweep you along. And sometimes my life feels like that. It feels like being in this river, and I'm like, Lord, can I just slow down a little? You know, it's like White River Rapids, but there's life there. And it's so different to the place of just trying to plug along your own strength. In Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, and always submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And Galatians 5, 25, if we live by the Spirit, we also keep in step with the Spirit. And so I'm trusting that Hans comes and shares that there's something we all learn to walk by the Spirit. As we've already heard, there's been such a testimony this morning of walking by the Spirit, hearing his voice, that there'll be an activation as Hans shares with us about doing that. So over to you, Hans.
Thank you, Dave. All right. How's it, Oaks? You look like you're expecting something amazing from me. Yeah, I feel like that worship was the main course, you know. So maybe this is the pudding. Maybe the little kind of, what's that little drink they have afterwards? But let me get started, man. Let me jump in. I'm just thinking of Gareth's word, you know, and I feel like God wants to maybe just go a little bit further with that. I feel like the devil, he doesn't want to take you out right now completely, but he just wants to bend something in you. And but that, you know, 10 years later is you, you're out. So I just felt like, just be very like, just ask God and the Spirit to show you, like, don't give in, you know? All right. So how to be led by the Spirit? Sure. The Holy Spirit is like, it's God, it's the Bible. It's this topic that just, you can go so deep. There's so many levels. There's tongues, there's gifts. There's the Trinity. There's like all the stuff. So I'm really going to try and just simplify this morning and just give us a few handles in how to be Spirit-led. Okay. So, the word here. All right, H-E-A-R, here. I'm going to break it down. Those four letters, here. So if you ever, you forget, what did Hans preach on that one time? Just think, here. Okay. Let he who has an ear, hear. Here. Here. Okay. So the H is for him. Okay. Him. He. Holy Spirit is a person. Okay, it's got an interesting name, Holy Spirit, and that confuses us sometimes that we think it's this airy thingy, you know? It's not. It's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. In John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said." Okay, it's a person, and that's something you got to fight for that truth continuously, that he's a person. You know, one of the first books I read when I got saved was by Benny Hinn, and it was called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And he used to wake up and go, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." And it was just something that eventually clicked in him. He did incredible things through the power of the Spirit. But we need to understand that it's a person. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved, you know. He's a person. It's relationship. And I've been camping out in the book of Acts for quite some time. And so when it was kind of timeous that Luke suggested we do something, because the book of Acts is referred to, back in the day they used to refer to it as the Acts of the Apostles. But the modern kind of, not modern, but most, guys who do commentaries would say, actually, it should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. So what does he do? He teaches, just in that little scripture there, he's an advocate. You know what advocate is? In our law system, a lawyer can't speak to a judge. He needs an advocate. Advocate is the one who speaks to the judge on our behalf. And it's almost like that, like God is the judge, you know, and we need an advocate. Jesus also referred to as an advocate, but in this instance, the Holy Spirit is the advocate. He's a person. He's the person who, you know, helps us to communicate with God, helps us to do everything. He reminds us. He teaches. And it says, he teaches all things. You can't learn anything without the Holy Spirit. Don't try and read your Bible without the Holy Spirit, okay? Because it's going to be dead. Because it's the living Word of God, is Jesus. And we need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to remind us of everything that Jesus said. Yeah, Jesus. You know, what is he like? One of the reasons I read the Bible is to find Jesus. Like, that's, you know, you can often read the Bible to find something for your life, you know, or you can read the Bible for something for someone else's life. But I believe the real reason we should be reading this is to learn more about Jesus, to find out who he is. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit, you know. read your Bible to find the Holy Spirit, to find out who He is, to learn that He's a person and that He's real, and that you can walk with Him every day. He's a comforter. He comforts. He reminds. Teaches. John 16 verse 7. If you can pop that up. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. This is Jesus again. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So here's this crazy, you know, Jesus is with his disciples. It's Jesus. It's King Jesus. He's been given all authority. And Jesus says, I've got to, it's better that I go. And they must have been like, hell no. Stay. Like, obviously it's not better if you go. Could it have been different? Can't you stay, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit come? Like, isn't there another way? It's like, no, because it's God's way. And what happens is there's something about Jesus only being able to kind of disciple 12. And the Holy Spirit can disciple everybody. It says the Spirit was poured out on all flesh. So it's a mystery. It's a mystery. And the more I read, the more I learn, but I'm still like, what is that? I don't know, God. Why is it like that? I don't know. But you've got to trust God and that the person of the Holy Spirit is able to fill us all and walk with us all. I love Kim's story. That's like, that's act stuff, man. Hey? That's act stuff. That's wild. Well done. Ah, Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit, He does the will of the Father. Okay, you need to remember that. Same with Jesus. Jesus said, look at me and you'll see the Father. Holy Spirit is the same. Yeah. So, and he does what He wants to do, okay? He can't put Him in a box, can't control Him, can't say, this is how it works. I pray in tongues for 5 minutes, then I'm filled, then I go, I have a prophecy for that man over there. Like, no. Even this morning, it was like, you know, it would have been great to have a couple of power songs in worship. Everybody settles down. We talk about the Holy Spirit. People get excited. Pray we get filled. Everybody gets filled. We go out and we make disciples of all nations. Can we do that, God? No. Holy Spirit does what He wants to do. So He comes in worship and He touches lives and He fills. I just felt like such a nice filling of the Holy Spirit, even in worship. I don't know if you guys experienced that. You know, it was great. He does what He wants to do. I'll give you an example. In Acts 10:44. Peter gets called by a Roman officer. So this is before, like, the Gentiles. You know, first it was just for the Jews, Christianity. And then Peter has that picture with a cloth. I don't know if you guys have heard the story. Go read Acts. And God shows him that His kingdom is for everybody. And then he gets called by this Roman officer, and he feels the Holy Spirit say to him, you need to go, I'm sending you there. He goes there. And then he's in the house, and now God showed him that, okay, His kingdom is for everybody. So obvious thing would be to tell them the gospel, explain it to them. Then they must go and get baptized in water, and then they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they get to be part of the kingdom. What happens? No, Peter's talking. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, Spirit does what He wants to do. Peter must have been like, whoa, can we just pause on the Holy Spirit, make sure we tick the box. No, He just comes and he fills them. Holy Spirit, is that you? Which brings me to our next point. Some people hear Him audibly. Okay? Like Kim and Peter. and Peter literally, so this is Acts 10. While Peter was still thinking about the vision with a cloth and the different creatures that God was saying, it's good to eat them all, the Spirit said to him, little inverted, what do you call those things? Inverted commas. Simon, 3 men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate. Go with them, for I have sent them. That must be incredible. I've never heard the audible voice of God or the Holy Spirit. I don't know, maybe some of you have. I think most of us probably won't, unfortunately, until that day, okay? But the incredible thing is we hear Him in different ways. We hear him in our heart. We hear him in our soul. We hear, you know, we get the sense that he wants to do something, you know. He highlights somebody to us, something. Or we do something and we just feel like, oh, God, I should have. Maybe I missed it. And this is how we learn. It's this compass that we continuously calibrating to true north. So this is another story in the Bible. Peter, so this is them not hearing audibly, but something happened. So they, I'm sure you've heard the story of the beggar. Let's read it. Acts 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. He was put there every day. Peter walked past him every day. Okay. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him as did John. Okay, what does that say? Peter and John immediately felt something. He wasn't even looking at them, as we'll read now. He was just sitting there begging, like, oh, can you spare some change, please? And they both just felt something in the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. Okay, so God speaks to the heart. They both just knew God wants to do something here. I've got a little anti-testimony, as Luke calls it. So we used to live in Woodstock, and guys would come begging. Feels like three times a day there would be someone begging, you know. So, and we live in South Africa, got a lot of poverty, we get a lot of begging. So it's almost like your default starts being no, because you don't know what that guy's life is looking like. You know, he might be lazy and he doesn't want to work, and then you're not going to help him by giving, you know. Anyway. Then Josie calls me the one day, and she says, no, there's someone at the gate, and they're looking for petrol. And I'm like, oh, okay. Go outside, see the guy, and he kind of starts telling me a story. I'm just like, no, sorry, I can't help you. And he immediately gets, and he pushes, his bike had run out of petrol. As he pushes away that bike, I'm just like, oh, God, I've missed it. And I walked inside, and I said to Josie, oh, man, and I went to go look, and he was too late, he was gone. I just felt like that was a Holy Spirit moment, like I should have helped that guy. And that's how I learned. Now I'm like, okay, I've got to get over the default of just no, and I've got to go like, Holy Spirit, is there something here? I don't know what God wanted to do, but I, to this day, I'm still like, oh God, you like wanted to use me in this guy's life. And who knows where it ended up, you know? Maybe I was his last chance to hear something about Jesus. It's like quite a weighty one for me. But man, it's a lesson. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I've got to dial. The compass started drifting. It's like, okay, get the compass back to true north. Which brings me to my next, the E. Okay, so the H is just him. Know he's a person. Know that he speaks. Know that he guides. Know that he comforts and he teaches and he helps and he comes alongside. The E is for earnest. Okay? We need to earnestly be seeking him. The definition of earnest is resulting from or showing sincere and intense conviction. Think of devotion of the Acts, you know, of the early believers. Acts 2:42. It's kind of our mantra in Josh Jen, and it's kind of the blueprint of the early church. Is that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to each other, to community, to prayer, to giving, to breaking of bread, devotion. Devotion speaks of giving fully, you know. So we've got to earnestly be running after him. Let's read Luke 11, And Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door's already locked, my children are in bed, we can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Shameless audacity. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Shameless audacity. Are we doing that? Like, are we earnestly seeking him? Are we knocking? Are we studying? Are we reading? Are we learning? Are we devoting ourselves to the apostles' teaching? You know, when the slide comes up for the 4:12 conference, which is our main time of getting apostolic input, are we devoting ourselves to that and going, yes, write down the dates, get the leave in, you know, get the money, get the, are we devoting ourselves or are we just going, oh, cool, yeah, I'll sort that out later. I've got a few other things I need to do. Devote yourselves. Earnestly seek him. And the reward is him, you know. The reward is like, how incredible is it to have the Holy Spirit? I had a situation recently. We were looking to buy a piano, a second-hand piano. And I was scouring around Facebook Marketplace because I'm a bit of a scavenger, trying to find the best bargain. And I find a piano, and this guy kind of trades in pianos. And I start communicating with him, and very excited. No, he's got the perfect piano. Da-da-da. Something in my spirit, the Holy Spirit just says to me, no. So I'm like, okay, I've learned the hard way. To listen to those little no's. And I'm like, okay. And the guy's trying, and I said, no, that's fine. We're making another plan. And we did find a great piano. I later learned that this man was actually not in a good place. It was a very random story. I won't give you too much details, but I did learn that he was not in a good place, and it would have probably lost all my money and gone horribly wrong. So thank you for the Holy Spirit. Like, it's such an incredible thing to walk with him. Even with work stuff. I mean, you know, Dave's had so many testimonies of work stuff where God just highlights and, you know, saves him a lot of trouble and money. And, yeah, it's an incredible privilege to walk with the Holy Spirit. The greatest privilege for me, though, is to see people's lives touched. Like, that's, you know, oh, that's the mandate, is to make disciples of all nations. And it's like, you know, the Bible speaks about better to give than to receive. It's like, oh man, when Holy Spirit gives you a word for someone's life, I'm like, what? I recently was in Benoni, and God just used me, like, and I, you know, a lot of prophetic words for guys, and I left. And then later, like, feedback from Ryan was like, what the heck happened? Like, guys' lives are changed. Like, church, the one guy was like planting a church in New York. I'm like, and yeah, I am just, you know, just prophesying. So like, that for me, that's the ultimate reward for me. It's like to see other people's lives transformed, to be used by him. It's a beautiful privilege. And remember, there are these gifts, you know, the Holy Spirit gives certain gifts to people. And even this morning, we're going to pray in a moment, like we trusting that God's going to give gifts. But the greatest gift is to use that for him and to see and to have this reward in heaven. So, him, earnest, the A is for act, all right? This is where we actually need to do something. We need to be obedient. We need, you know, if Kim didn't obey and go like, oh, okay, God, this is the most awkward place on planet Earth to go and speak to someone gymming next to you, but I'm going to do it, you know, because this could be you. And I'm sure we've all done that when it wasn't God. I don't know if you know. But that's also how you learn. Sometimes God just tests you, you know. The one time, before I go on with that, the one time, another anti-testimony, is, so we had this Edgemead congregation, and I went to go visit the congregation, and I don't know if you guys have been there, but they've changed the venue around since then. It was still side on, and they had a little stage, which looked like where people could go dance, you know, and there was a bucket with, like, these little poles in, and the little strings, little flags, you know. So I thought, well, no, I didn't think, I was worshiping, and I felt God say, go and dance on the stage. I was like, no, Lord, I will not. That cannot be you. And I fought it. And I mean, 10 minutes in, I was like, if I don't do this, like, this is going to be disobeying God. I've got to go. And I went up to the little stage, and I grabbed two little flags out of the bucket. And the first little flick I gave, both ends flew off of the flags. And so I was left on stage with two sticks. And then the worship ends. And so I put down my sticks. But you know what? I was stoked because I was like, God, I did it. I did it. Maybe he just wanted to break something of a fear of man, you know? Yeah. So, man, we got to obey. And we got to, you know, the Bible says that forceful men forward the kingdom of God. There's something of overcoming your fears and going like, yeah. And maybe you're new here and it means just lifting your hands in worship, you know? Maybe you've been here for decades and it means grabbing a chair and joining Ruan. Ruan says we need to make a little danger zone with some red tape so that we can have, you know, guys go for it. But obedience, man, you got to act. You got to act. He requires it. This is what he requires. He's bought you with his blood. And now he requires you to be his servant, you know, to be his slave in a way. Like Andrew always teaches, and you know what those words really, like the requirement is now, God, you get used by him. But what a privilege. It's not something out of duty. It's like the most incredible thing that the creator of heaven and earth, the one true God, King Jesus, the Savior, the one who's been given all authority is his. You know, the Bible says one word from God's power holds everything together. That's him just going, yes. How is it for me to say God does that and everything is held together? He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. We just learned the Holy Spirit can do, he can do all the work. But he chooses somehow to use us. And there's this choice. And there's, what an incredible thing. And one day we're going to get to heaven and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Or he's going to spit you out and say, I never knew you. You need to know him. Get to know him. This is a harsh reality. Get to know him. You can be in church. You know, there were some of the churches in Revelation said, but Lord, Lord, we did these incredible things in your name. And he says to them, I didn't know you. Know him. Earnestly seek him. And then act. Be obedient. And I'll leave you with this little tidbit. So before the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost, the disciples are together, and they look at the scriptures, and it says, okay, if one of you, you know, there's kind of a prophecy about the person denying Christ needs to be replaced. So they go, okay, we need to replace this person now. So what do? They don't have the Holy Spirit, so they pray, and then they cast lots. Like, God, show us. And they in the shortest story, okay, you're it. Okay? Holy Spirit falls. How does it look after that? It looks like this, Acts 13. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said to them, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. Isn't it incredible that we have that Holy Spirit? We don't have to be like this blind faith and cast lots for everything we do. Like, should we or should we not buy this building? Ching, chong, cha. Okay, let's get it. You know? No, the Holy Spirit, we have him. He speaks. Okay, let's act. Let's be obedient to when he speaks. And then the last letter, R, means, anybody want to guess? Repeat. Is that what you said? Yes, ma'am. You win. It's a bottle of water for you. Congratulations. Repeat. Rinse and repeat. Like, do it again. Do it again. Wake up. Do it again. let's keep fighting for each other. Let's keep fighting the good fight. Let's keep knowing Him and getting filled with Him. Okay, so hopefully that's very simple. H-E-A-R, okay? Him as a person, get to know Him, read your Bible, ask Him, and you will receive. Earnestly devote yourself to these things. Let's go for it. Act, obey. And you know what? God, the Bible says if you're faithful with a little, He'll give you much, okay? So it often is a case of like, okay, will Hans go on stage, make a fool of himself for me? I'm like, okay, God, I will. And then He's like, okay, that's the kind of man I can use. Next time it's like, okay, Hans, I want you to lead worship. Will you, submit? And no, but I've got these cool songs, God. Like, no, the elder says, just play this four chords. I'm like, I will do it. He's like, okay, that I can use. Here's a little more. Will you be a deacon in my house? I'm like, yes, God. Okay, tests. Come in like crawling, like yes, you'd be passed. He's still alive. You can be a deacon in my house. Whatever. There's a person. I want you to go to that person and tell them the gospel. Will you do it? There's a lady on the gym on the wheel next to you. Will you do it? Yes, God. Wow, salvation. You get to see God's kingdom breaking in. Beautiful thing. Lives forever changed. Family remains together. Kids grow up in a whole house that would have been another statistic of divorce. Like, let's just act on those little things. Okay, so we do want to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. He's already here. But to come and impart and come and fill this morning. Are you guys amped for that? Who wants more of the Holy Spirit?